Blog Talk Radio.
You blink, and the Christmas season is upon us. You blink again, and it's January, and you have a mountain of new debt. Ever wonder how to find ways to rein in your urges to shop until you drop so that the spirit of the season won't bite you in the wallet when the holidays are over? If you've answered yes, this show is for you, your colleagues, your friends, and your family. I've teamed up with our resident financial expert, Lurie Davis, and we've created 6 easy ways to save money throughout the holiday season. From Christmas or Hanukkah, gifts or Kwanzaa items to Three Kings Day, we'll help you rein in your spending and breathe easy come January 2015. So get out your pen and paper and watch your spending shrink as you find new ways to celebrate the season. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. I'm so glad you've joined us today. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Thank you so much. I can't believe it. It is December. We're all sort of marching toward the middle of December. And this show really is not just for you, it's for me too, because I sort of fall victim to spending a little bit too much and buying an extra gift here or there that you really don't need, or spending a little bit too much. So we're going to rein ourselves in and really look at this whole concept of the holiday season and how to spend. Now, this is not meant to just cut everything off and you don't spend anything and you become a complete recluse. That's not what the holidays are all about. I certainly had such a good time during Thanksgiving with family here. Last weekend, my grandchildren were back at the house. So I like family, and I like the whole idea of being around family and friends during the holidays, going to parties, Yankee swap, or whatever kind of game exchange that you play in terms of gift giving. This is just a reminder, just to give you a couple of tips and pointers so that come January 1st or 2nd, whenever you wake up from the party that you're going to or coming from, you won't have that nervous energy and nervous thought, oh my God, these bills are going to come due and I only have so much money. So this is just to remind us how we can navigate our ways throughout the holiday season and spend appropriately and spend wisely. And most importantly, the thing is to figure out how we can really determine the whole importance of the holiday season, the significance of Christmas, the significance of Hanukkah, which is celebrated by Jewish people around the world, the significance of Kwanzaa, and Kwanzaa really is a secular holiday. It falls on the 26th of December, and there's really not much gift-giving involved, but just what are the real meanings of these various days that we celebrate here on the planet, ending probably with Three Kings Day on January 6th. So this is a reminder program, a program that I'd like for you to share with others, and a program hopefully that will help you to think through the holiday seasons so that you can have a really safe, successful, and happy 2015. Back with us is our resident expert who always gives us great advice. I've had him on several times, but I'm always learning and writing down all of his great information, financial planner Lurie Davis. Welcome back to the show.
Happy holiday, Carol.
Happy holidays
to
you, too. All righty. We're going to jump right into it. I'm going to actually give the first 2 tips. We have 6 tips to share with you. I'm going to share the first 2 tips, and then I'm going to have Lurie Davis to share. We're going to mix it up. We're going to tease us a little bit. I will give tip 1, and then we'll have Lurie to give one of his tips, and then I'll give my other tip, and then he has 3 other tips to share with you. It'll total 6, and I may give you a bonus one on top of that. So just stay tuned, and I think you'll enjoy this. Tip number 1 is to clean your house. That's number 1. Clean your house, clean your apartment, clean wherever you live, whatever your domicile happens to be. Frequently, if you're like me, you've lived in one place for a couple of years, a number of years for me, like 14 years in this house. Maybe you've lived longer, maybe you grew up in a particular home or apartment where you're living, and you've been there long, and what happens is that we don't take inventory on our stuff, so we just keep packing it on and piling it on, and before you know it, you've got things everywhere. That's the case in my house. So this is a good time to begin the cleaning process, not after January, but certainly now. The reason why is that you will mentally take stock of all your stuff and how much stuff you have, and perhaps it will help curb your need or desire to go out there and buy stuff that you don't need. Now, case in point, when I first moved in this house 14 years ago, I figured I needed a complete Christmas makeover. So I bought trees, and I bought artificial trees, and I have a tree right now in my garage. I've never taken out the box. It has lights on it, and it's been there probably now for 10 years. I have another tree that goes in the basement every year, comes back up because my kids are grown, so we stopped the live tree stuff some time ago. But you figure that you need accessories and things, and so you start buying things, which I did. I bought things for probably 5 years, and some of the things I haven't used, including lights that go outside. So I stopped buying Christmas decorations and Christmas, including wrapping paper, and ribbons because I had bought so much stuff in previous years, and in that cleaning process, if you begin to package everything together, then you know how much stuff you have, and that will be an instant way for you to take inventory of what you have and what you probably don't need to purchase. And it's so enticing. You go in the stores and things are right at the cash register. That's done deliberately. And the bright lights and the trees and the bows. I love all that stuff. And then you end up taking too much stuff home. So if you start cleaning and get a sense of what's in your house, what you don't need, what you need to really throw out, and what I'm really trying to do strategically is to get rid of everything that I don't need, essentially, things that obviously furniture and stuff I'm not going to throw out, but papers and other items that probably precede 2006, it's going to be on the chopping block. And so you have to figure out, you know, what's your chopping block date going to be, what needs to be tossed. And it's not a matter of continuously and completely cleaning your house in the month of December. It's starting the process now, so that you won't get in the trap of buying too much stuff. So that's number one, is clean your house. Lurie, what's tip number two?
Okay, Carol, I thought that was a great one. Number two is to, I believe that after this long year, one of the things that everybody should try to do is to buy yourself or treat yourself to a gift. I know that a lot of people, when you're in the store, you might have come into the store to mainly look for gifts for others, but you might get the attention of some gift that you wanted, and I don't think there's a problem with purchasing something during the season for self, even if it's to go have a massage or go to the spa. I think it's a great time to treat yourself.
That's a great tip. It also, it's a psychological benefit because this is the spirit of giving, and obviously that's what we are intentionally trying to do. But, yeah, buying one little treat for yourself, one item, one service for yourself, then and sometimes you can even wrap it up and put it under the tree and then open it up on Christmas Day. How about that one, Lurie?
I like that one.
That's great. Tip number three is to keep track of your past giving habits. Now, this is what I'm saying. I'd like for you this year, and I've done this for many, many years, is to take a pocket folder, one of those little pocket folders you can buy at an office supply store. You can get it at one of the big box stores for, you know, 50 cents or 75 cents. And then mark on the front, this would be 2014 Christmas. So 2014 Christmas. And the reason why you need a pocket folder is that I'm a paper person, so you can, if you have an idea or a suggestion or a list, it can go inside the folder. Now, yes, you can do it electronically, and so that would work as well if you are more of an electronic person. But the important thing is to make a list of everybody you buy a Christmas gift for. I've done this, again, for many years, and I also tend to write down what I have purchased for them. So it's the list. It's what I purchase, and that also is self-containing. Now, I'm asking you to do that, and I've done this again for several years, is that you can go back to the previous year and then figure out what you bought for that person. And maybe you want to up your game or do something a little different, but at least you don't run the risk of buying the exact same thing that the person hates the next year. So it's a way for you to keep track of keeping yourself organized, but also it can help minimize and manage how much money you spend totally. Now, this is what has helped with me with having this kind of list or a system or package, whatever you want to call it. I tend to buy gifts at the last minute. I'll buy gifts on Christmas Eve or 2 days before or a couple of days before. My younger daughter, Michelle, she's bought stuff since the summer, and she's done by now. But I'm almost the exact opposite. What it does is, if you are a person who tends to buy things at the last minute or toward the closer to Christmas itself, you can take that pocket folder and maybe a clipboard to the store with you, literally open it up and see what you need to purchase. Now, maybe you can pre-plan what you want to purchase for people, what you purchased last year. So this is a way for you to keep yourself organized so that you don't duplicate your efforts, that you can stay within your budget. And this is another good reason why you have this pocket folder. On the left side can go your coupons. So all these stores are offering coupons electronically through your smartphone, but also you can print things out. So you can print out these coupons, have them on the left side of your pocket folder. On the right side is your list, and you're organized, you know how much you need to spend, and that, I think, is a great way to keep yourself self-contained. So that is tip number two. Tip number three, Lurie.
Okay, I think we're on four now, Carol.
Oh, tip number four. Yes, we are. Tip number four.
We'll be on number four. So I think this goes along with what your third tip that you just gave, which was, going in line with organization, I think when you go out shopping, this is where I think when we talk about spending and running into debt, this tip, I believe, probably is the best way to manage it would be to prepare yourself a budget. I know a lot of us don't like the idea of having a budget, but I think this is the key. If you could have a written budget of the amount of money that you are going to actually spend for this holiday season. So let's say if you allocate, okay, I only want to spend $300 to get these five people gifts. So you want to stay within that guideline and make sure that you don't overspend the $300. And one of the best ways to do that would be to actually have the actual cash. I would recommend not using your debit card or any credit cards, but actually get $300, put in an envelope with your list, and go into the store. Therefore, you pretty much will stick to that budget, because once all the cash is gone out of that envelope, that's it for the spending.
Wow. So not even money for a milkshake or anything. It's like that
$300
and you're done.
So you wouldn't be able to say, okay, I forgot to get this. Let me go and get this for somebody, because that's it.
And I think we certainly were a tag team today, so that's why you really need to have that pocket folder. So you have on the left side, you have all those coupons. So maybe your list
says
$300, but if you got 10% off coupons, and I mean, I'm going to Staples probably today or tomorrow, because I have two coupons that I received electronically because I'm on their list, and then I think I have another coupon that I also got over the weekend that is good until the 13th, so I have to get some ink for my printer, and it's going to cost me probably almost half of what it would normally cost me just because of the coupons. So I'm a big believer in that, and even more so during the Christmas season. So if you have $300, you have that pocket folder, you got your list, you have your coupons, so whatever your savings are, you can go out and buy yourself a milkshake. How about that, Lurie?
I think going to the food court after all of that, walking around, probably would be the thing you want to do. The next one, I think, is
all
going
right.
to require, you know,
five.
A little bit
Go ahead.
More research and thinking tip that I'm going to go over.
Right.
And that would be
for our listeners, we're talking to Lurie Davis, and he's giving us tip number five. Go ahead, Lurie.
Okay, sure. That would be to buy a gift savings bond. I know a lot of families are thinking, you know, what should I get for, you know, children or some individuals that might be difficult to think of a gift for them. But a savings bond is a great investment instrument to use. It's a treasury from the federal government. It is backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. Government. And now they've made it much easier where you can just go online to www.savingsbondswithanf.gov, and all of the information is right on the screen there. All of the different bond programs, how you go about setting up the account, because what has to happen is that once you establish the gift for somebody, there's a certain period of time that the gift has to be established and moved over to that person. And if that person is a minor, then there has to be an adult establish and a gift account for that to move over into. So it's a little work. It's a little complicated, but I believe that it's a great gift, especially if you're conscious about how much interest it's going to earn. You can get a little better interest that you can get, let's say, in a checking or savings account, but it's a way that you can start individuals, especially children, to think about saving and putting some money aside.
So let me ask you, Lori, I think years ago when I was a child and certainly when my children were children, people would give you a bond, a savings bond, $25 bond that they probably paid less for, the $50 bond. They paid less for and it appreciates to mature. It's a $25 or $50 bond. How is that similar or different from the new gift program that you can get through savingsbond.gov?
Okay, it's pretty much the same, what you just described, just that now they've taken it all online, where the Treasury Department has set up this website, and instead of going into the banks to purchase this, it's all done with online on the system now.
Uh-huh. So if someone buys, let's say, a $50 bond for X dollars, I don't know what the cost would be, the recipient would have to wait a number of years before it appreciates in order to cash it in. Is that typically how it works?
That would be correct because it's earning interest up into the maturity date. So a lot of these are, 10 years, 20 years that you can get the year periods that you could decide to purchase for. And, yes, the interest would accumulate till it gets to what the face value of the bond that you purchase.
I would think also this would be a great way, and again, when you're the expert, I'm just sort of interpreting that everybody should really think about a portfolio of savings and giving. This would be one option. It's not the only option, but when you're talking about small children, it's a wonderful way to introduce them to money and having them to see how their money is going to grow. Is that not true, Lori?
That is absolutely correct, because I think any time that you could really educate your children or your grandchildren about savings, starting to think about putting money aside, because these are habits that they're going to take into adult stage of life. So the sooner that you teach children, because this is where everything gets, set for them, what they learn at this early stage of their life, this is what they will take into adult stage of life. So they have, you've taught them good money habits, how to save. You can best believe that at, when they become adults, they're going to save.
You know, another alternative and a twist on that, just going along with what Lori has said, and I've heard families do this, is that some families get together and instead of exchanging gifts amongst themselves, like cousins giving gifts to cousins, or aunts or uncles or whatever, the family group gets together and each family or each person is asked to put money into a family scholarship program so that as that grows, one family recipient and then another and another can be the beneficiary of the scholarship fund that was started by the family, let's say, 5 or 10 years earlier. That, I think, would work well with large families and with a lot of children, and where you really can't possibly give nice gifts, quality gifts, to every single family member. If everybody just pitches in and you give X number of dollars, $25, $10, whatever it is, to this family scholarship program, obviously you have to have a good money manager, either somebody in the family or you hire someone outside and they make a fee on it or whatever it happens to be. And then at a certain point in time, maybe at the same time of year, you grant and give a scholarship to a deserving family member. And there are variations of this, but I've heard of that, and it probably works pretty successfully for some members. Tip number
I actually
like that
idea, Carol, because I think we have to start thinking about different ways in which we can help children go to college because of the expense to educate a child now.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how that family is doing. I heard this idea some years ago, but I thought I'd bring it up. But, yeah, you're correct. It's just the rates now are unaffordable for most families, and some families totally rely on either grants or scholarships or loans to get their children through school. The thing about loans is that they have to be paid back either by the child itself or the student when they graduate or that parent. So this is, I think, a great alternative. And that fund, that family fund, you can contribute it to it probably all year long. It's just one gift, at least during the Christmas season, is one to consider. So that so it goes hand in hand with tip number five, giving a gift savings bond. And then tip number six, Lurie.
Okay, the last tip that I have is this is a great time, I believe, once the Christmas season is over with, the holiday is over with, this is now a time to think about restarting either the Christmas Club or starting your savings for the 2015 Christmas season. So you're already in the motion to get ready for 2015, but at least if you take the approach that now I'm going to make sure that I'm putting aside, even if it's $25 on a monthly basis into this Christmas Club, come, you know, October, November, you have a pretty decent amount of money set aside where you're not going to panic that you don't have the funds to do the Christmas shopping or the holiday shopping that you need to do.
Good point. So, again, I'm going back to that $300 example you gave earlier. If you had put that in your Christmas Club and you spent $250 because you have your coupons and your money had all been saved up because of the Christmas Club, then you can buy yourself a nice $40 gift and $10 left over for that chocolate sundae.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, and Christmas clubs are very popular at credit unions. So credit union banks, many credit union banks are open to the public just based on where you live. So you can check with your credit union bank. I'm not sure about commercial banks if they're popular there, but I know credit union banks or smaller banks also offer that service. Lurie, any other resources in terms of where that can be set up?
Yeah, well, you mentioned my favorite. I always mention to my clients to set up credit union accounts because I think it's just great places to do business with, especially after what happened with the 2007-2008 Great Recession. A lot of the big banks, the relationships, they've forgotten about creating those relationships with you. But when you walk into a credit union, they get to know your name. When you walk up to the counter, most likely they're going to say, "Good morning, Mrs. Thomas," because the people behind the counter are going to know your name, and they're going to be friendly, and all of the services that they offer, like the Christmas Club, they're going to try to encourage you to establish those, and I think it's a great place to establish a relationship.
Good idea, good thought. My bank is used to be a union bank started by the Carpenters Union here in Boston, the Boston area. They're a fully functional all-service bank, but they're still very small. They have like one or two branches. They have their branch here in Boston, and I think they have a branch in New York and maybe some other place. They just recently changed their name. But, yeah, I know the people there, and I can pick up the phone and call, "Can I speak to so-and-so?" And, you know, I'm not a millionaire, but you know your money's protected. But you also, the relationship piece, you mentioned it, is very, very important. I have a bonus tip for everybody, and that bonus tip is, this is tip number seven, and I hope that you'll share this show with others because we've given some really good information and information that I certainly need, and I'd love for you to share it with others. But the bonus tip is to make your own gifts. Make gifts that you make out of your hands or that you create some kind of way. And case in point, Office Max, I'm not doing a commercial, but Office Max in your area, you can go there and take 40 or 50 pictures, go to their computer, they'll scan them all in, create the design or the order of the pictures, and you can walk out with a book of pictures telling some kind of story of an event that you've gone to or wedding or anniversary or whatever for under $20. I think it's like $19.95. That can be a really nice gift for older people because many times they're sentimental and they can go back and reflect on the pictures. So that's more of an electronic gift and one that you sort of organize and create, but still one that's pretty unique. Another one, baked goods, that's always the favored one when you're going to meetings and you want to give something very small and memorable to folks. You can bake breads or cookies and package them up. It takes your time, but people really appreciate it because they know that you've taken your time. Jewelry can be made. You can go to any of the art stores, take a class, or learn how to do it yourself, and make a necklace or a bracelet or a ring for someone that you really care about. And the one that I really like are the IOUs. And this is great for children or teenagers or those who are in school and those who don't really have a lot of money. You can just write on a nice card or a nice placard that I promise to for Aunt Tilly or Uncle Mo or Cousin So-and-so or your mom or your dad to clean out your oven by March 15th, 2015. Or I promise to wash the dog or wash our dog every other month between now and June. So you set it up like it's a contract and you write it on nice paper. You can either wrap it up and give it to someone and it's a service. Or maybe you want to promise to give an older person who is an invalid or somebody who doesn't have a chance to get out that much, and you promise to come and visit them and have tea with them and bring them dinner every quarter. And then you write down, I'm going to do this between January and December of next year at least four times a year. But some kind of creative way where you're giving your services. So it's either making something, making a dress, an outfit, seamstress skills come in mind, or you're doing an IOU with either cleaning the oven or dog washing, or making jewelry or making baked goods or packaging pictures together or DVDs together and then giving that as a gift. It can be economical. It may take a little bit of your time, but it definitely will be memorable. Lurie Davis, any other tips before we take off and sign off for today?
Well, Kara, I just think that with those tips that you and I gave, I don't believe that anybody is going to be getting into any type of overspending or into any major debts if they take those tips and put them into use.
I think that's a great idea. Lurie Davis, you are fantastic. We will look forward to seeing you in 2015. A Merry Christmas to you. I know that you and your family will have a wonderful time together, and I thank you so much for the year that you've given us great, great tips. I encourage our listeners to go back and listen to the previous shows that I've had, Lurie, because you're going to gain something and learn something new each time you listen to it. Lurie Davis, thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Carol, and I look forward to spending next year with you as well.
Absolutely. We'll come up with more fantastic ways for people to save money and have fun at the same time. Thank you.
Okay, great. Take care.
All righty. Lurie Davis is a great person. And actually, Lurie, I hope you're still with us. Lurie, give us your contact information. Yes, we forgot to do that.
Okay, sure. You can reach me by email at ldwm@comcast.net, or you can call me at 781-595-0396.
Awesome. So no matter where you live in the country, I think if you live in California, we have people who listen to the show all over the world, really, but certainly in the U.S., call Lurie up. He will certainly point you in the right direction. He's licensed here in the state of Massachusetts. He can refer you to resources in your state. So give him a call, send him an email, and he will be happy to help. Thank you, Lurie.
Okay, Carol, enjoy your day.
All right, take care. Lurie Davis again. We hope that you'll have a good day, and we hope that these six plus one more tip will help you to stay on track, save money, do things in a real sensible way. You have a good time, but you certainly will do it in a way where you could wake up on January 1st, 2nd, or 3rd breathing a sigh of relief because you have not overspent in 2014. Go and have a great, great day or weekend, and we will see you next week. Take care. Bye.